shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And the next phrase is, he restores my soul. Your pastors, both Adam and Dave, this past, I believe it was March, led you to Psalm 23 and just a wonderful discussion. But I have to ask myself, why would David, a man after God's own heart, the writer of Psalm 23, why would he say he restores my soul? Why would David need his soul restored? Well, we know a little bit more about David, and we recognize David needed his soul restored. And today, as I stand before you, I ask myself, why does my soul need to be restored? And the answer is found here in Ohio in the 1960s when I was just a boy, probably around the age of 5. And as my mother took me to a hardware store to buy some paint, she left me in the front of the hardware store and she went to the back to get the paint with the store owner. Well, strategically planted in the hardware store right next to the checkout is the candy. And there it was. And there I was all alone. And while they were looking for paint, I was looking at the suckers. And sure enough, even as a cute little 5-year-old with shorts, no pockets, while nobody was watching, I got that sucker in my hand and put it behind my back. The problem is with 5-year-old shorts, there's no pockets, okay? They don't put pockets in there, and maybe this is why, because I had nowhere to hide the sucker. And so I held it in my hand behind my back, and when my mom came and paid, and we left the store and we're getting in the car, she said, what's behind your back? And I said, nothing. And she said, no, David Joe, what is in your hand? And I said, nothing. You guys must have been there. And so it was, I, the pastor you just called, am a thief. I'm a liar. I'm a sinner, and I discovered this from some of my first days on planet Earth, that I need my soul restored. And today, you'll be glad to know that the pastor you called has been redeemed. His soul has been restored. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that? And I'm here to tell you today, as we look at two pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your soul can be restored too. Now, I'm very aware that most in the room have restored souls. But there may be some that have not restored your soul with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so today, as we talk briefly about these two pictures of Jesus, I offer you hope that answers the question, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? You see, we all need to receive the lamb and watch for the lion. And the scriptures give us those two images of Jesus. One is a sacrificial lamb, and the other as a conquering king, a lion who will slay his enemies at his return. Well, this picture, the first one, the picture of the lamb, is seen in this passage that Pastor Dave just read from John chapter 1. It's the Lamb of God. And I love how the Apostle John writes about another John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, And John announces, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I love how he announces that, and that's his message. His message answers two questions. Who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. And it also answers the question, what has he done? He has taken away the sins of the world. So there you have it. His message is twofold. The same message that we have the opportunity to share with the world around us about Jesus, who he is and what has he done. And I love how this picture that is shared here of Jesus as the Lamb. You see, a lamb is one of meekness, humility, not very defensive. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus is. The scriptures say that he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's Jesus. That's Jesus, the Lamb. And today, we need to receive and remember Jesus, the Lamb of God. We need to receive and remember. You see, the Old Testament previews Jesus as the Lamb of God. And throughout the Old Testament, we don't see the name Jesus, but more and more, as it builds in the Old Testament, we get a picture of Jesus, the Lamb. And the Lamb is revealed throughout the Old Testament. The Lamb of God is revealed. You see it in the book of Genesis, and you see it as we build in the books of the law in Exodus, where twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, a lamb was slaughtered for the sins of the nation. It was slaughtered. And that just continues throughout the Old Testament. People had to bring their own lamb for their personal sin. That's how it was in the books of the law. And then when you get to the books of wisdom and poetry, we see the celebration of the sacrificial system. But there's this ongoing foreshadowing that takes place in the Old Testament that there's a perfect sacrifice that's coming. And then when you get to the prophets, then you really begin to see a clearer picture of a perfect lamb to come. And when you get to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote about a suffering servant. And here's what he wrote in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that was before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You see, what the Old Testament previews as yet to come, the New Testament reviews as what has come. It's the gospel writers that give us a narrative of the life, the death, the burial of Jesus Christ. It's what the New Testament is reviewing and the gospel writers are showing us. And then when you get to the book of Acts, the whole church is built around Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. There's a proclamation in the book of Acts that Jesus is that perfect Lamb. And then when you get to the epistles, here's what Peter wrote to us. He wrote, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And then when you get to the epistle to the Hebrews, it says this in reference to the Old Testament. It says this, that every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But then the writer of Hebrews goes on to say about the new covenant, the New Testament, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. What's all this mean to us, this sacrificial system, about the preview of the Lamb of God and then the review we see in the New Testament? Why is this significant to us? Well, first off, we need to make sure that we have received the Lamb. His blood is not applied to us without us receiving the Lord Jesus and that sacrifice in our behalf. You see, the sacrificial system might seem strange to us today, and it does. For many, it's an insult. But the concept of payment or restitution is one that we can understand. And we know that there has to be payment for sin because God is just, and the wages of sin is death, and that our sin separates us from God. That's why my soul, that's why your soul needs to be restored. We know that the Bible teaches it's not just me and it's not just you, it's all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous. It's our sin that separates us from God, and we stand guilty before him. And therefore, the only hope we have is for God to come to our rescue and restore our souls. And he provided a way. He provided the way, not a lamb like we see here, but like the perfect, ultimate sacrifice for sin, Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid the penalty for our sin. It's through his death at the cross, his resurrection 3 days later, that we now have eternal life if we believe in him. Today I come to not only say we need to receive Jesus, but we need to remember Jesus. And I'm talking to you came to the 8:30 service, okay? So that tells me something about you this morning. It tells me that you have a high regard for the Word of God. It tells me that you have somewhat of an interest, if not an actual personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And for those who are listening virtually online, that's true of most of you. You didn't tune your TV into Fox News this morning. Instead, you tuned it into this service. For those of us who are so familiar with all of this, we need to remember Jesus is the Lamb of God. We need to celebrate him. We need to daily remind ourselves that I am right with God, not because of me, but because of him. So I ask you three personal questions this morning about the Lamb of God. Has your soul been restored? Or is there still an unsettled guilt within that you feel uneasy, that keeps you awake at night? I'm here to tell you that the Lamb of God takes away all sin. And if your soul has not been restored, you need to turn to Jesus. You need to believe on him. The second question is, have you received Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away sin? And the third question is, have you forgotten Jesus is your Lamb and now attempting to cover your own sin? Have you forgotten Jesus? Oh, these are three personal questions. And again, they answer that one question I started with. What can wash away my sin? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, it's this image of Jesus as the Lamb, but we don't want to stop there because we're going to celebrate the Lord's table, remembering his death. And we're going to do this until he comes. And so I want to take you to another picture of Jesus. It's the picture of Jesus as a lion from Romans chapter 5. And you can find Romans 5. And though we're just going to look just very, very, very brief at Romans, or did I say Romans? Revelation 5. Turn to Revelation 5. Just a brief time there to remind us to watch for the coming of Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Watch for the coming of Jesus, the Lion of Judah. Now, I didn't bring a lion with me today, but that's because I knew you'd be scared. But I did bring a gentle lamb because I knew you would go, aww. But I want you to know that Jesus is both. He is gentle like a lamb. He is fierce, authoritative like a lion. And we need to watch for the coming of Jesus, the Lion of Judah. So here we have it in Revelation chapter 5. And the way this starts is the Apostle John, once again, writing, just like in the Gospel of John, he's writing and he is giving us a description of a scroll. And we're not going to go into the detail of this, but there's an angel that proclaims with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seal?" And John wants so much to know what is written there that he's in despair. And he cries out, "Who is worthy?" And then an angel answers this in verse 5 of Revelation chapter 5, which I need to find. Revelation chapter 5. And it's a long text, but we're just going to read a couple of verses here where it says, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold,'" you've heard that word, "behold the Lamb of God, but now, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. And so he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Oh, this is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We need to watch for the coming of Jesus. And see, both the Old Testament and the New Testament preview Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, this image of Jesus is one of fierceness, of ultimate authority. You see, the lion is the king of beasts. But you know what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah is king of all. And he's coming again. He is coming again. And this is what we need to anticipate. We need to watch for the coming of Jesus. Now, what does this image of Jesus have to do with us today? Well, I just want to remind you again that Jesus is coming. How quickly we live our lives as if the death of my body is all there is. They'll bury me in the ground, and that's all there is. And I remind you again and again that we have a glorious, wonderful future that's beyond the grave. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God, and it's Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that paves for us a kingdom that will never end. And so I ask you two personal questions as we conclude. Have you submitted to the reign of King Jesus? Is he your Lord? Earlier we asked if he's your Savior, but is he your Lord? Have you submitted to him? Are you allowing him to lead and guide you? And secondly, are you anticipating his coming rule and reign, or are you dreading his coming? It all depends on what you've done with the Lamb of God, whether you'll anticipate or whether you'll dread. But if we have been restored by the precious, wonderful Lamb of God, then we can anticipate his coming rule and reign. Jesus is coming again. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, glorious day that will be. How is your soul? Has it been restored? Have you acknowledged the existence of God and his holiness? Have you admitted that you are a sinner and that you need restoration? You need to be restored. You need to be made right with God. Have you admitted that? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus as the one who makes you right with God? Have you cried out to him? As the writer in Romans says, if we declare with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the mouth that we cry out to the Lord and call upon him, and then we will be saved. So once again, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? No. You got to wait. You got to stay because we're getting ready to celebrate the Lord's table together. And as we celebrate, it is a celebration. But maybe there are some, either personally here or virtually watching online, who need to receive the Lord Jesus. During this time of communion, bow your head and close your eyes and cry out to him to save you from your sin. But maybe there are some here who just need to be refreshed in your memory of the Lord Jesus. This time of communion is made for that purpose. And I invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And we're going to move into this time of communion now. As we celebrate the Lord's table, Lord, remind us that you are the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remind us that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah who rules and reigns and who will establish your kingdom. Oh, may we anticipate daily what we have to look forward to. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.